In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. When you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. 13th verse of Luke chapter 14. And this morning's lesson from Luke's Gospel belongs to a set of stories about feasts brought together by Luke, which illustrate points at issue between Jesus and some of his opponents, such as acts of mercy performed on the Sabbath, and much more important for the passage we read, who was included in the feast. Those who regard themselves as bound to be invited and bound to be accorded seats of honor at top table could be in for a surprise. And of course, we could read the story about taking the lower seat to avoid the possible embarrassment of being asked to vacate the higher seat simply as good advice against self-promotion. But once you look at the group of stories about feasts in which it is embedded, the meaning takes a different turn. Those stories include the one about the people who were invited to the feast and gave various excuses, with the result that bashful outsiders had to be brought in off the streets with strong assurances that they were fit invitees. That's the meaning of the otherwise rather alarming phrase, compel them to come in. This group of stories is about those who can enter the kingdom now when the true host or the bridegroom is already with them, and in a world to come, burgeoning with divine possibility, where all kinds of people, some of them distinctly unexpected, shall sit down to eat and drink in the kingdom of God. And there could be a link here with our Old Testament passage from Isaiah 59, where Isaiah contrasts the blindness of those who grope like blind men in a world where truth and justice are flouted, with the coming glory of the Lord as he takes upon him the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. The New Testament, like the Old Testament, delights in the prospect of unexpected reversals, where those who appear to be the unconsidered pawns of history end up by sweeping the board. But there is a difference. For Jewish anticipation, for example, in 2 Isaiah, the light comes to Jerusalem, and the nations and kings journey to the brightness of its rising, and they become the servants of Israel. Or alternatively, in another strain of prophecy, great David's greater son will restore the lost glory of the kingdom of Israel in the great day of God's favor. And all those Jewish anticipations gather around Jesus with the question about whether he will restore the kingdom to his people. But just as the question about who will sit down to eat and drink in the kingdom takes an unexpected turn, so the question of the nature of the kingdom takes an unexpected turn. In one way, the kingdom of God is within you already, as it lives among the children and the little ones, and whosoever gives a cup of water to the thirsty or clothes the naked. And in another way, the kingdom is based on service, not on being served. Christ at supper among his friends is among us as one that serves. At the beginning of Luke's Gospel, Mary's song of triumph seems to take over where the promises of the Old Testament leave off. He shall put down the mighty from their seat and exalt them of low degree, as he promised to our forefathers, Abraham and his seed forever. And Luke even recites the Jewish genealogy of Jesus, first back to David, son of Jesse, and then back to Adam, the progenitor of all humankind, when the Holy Spirit descends on him at his baptism. That's the point at which he cites the genealogy. In the Magnificat, Mary contemplates the arrival of the one who will visit and redeem his people. But Simeon in the temple, fulfilling the rites of the law according to the old dispensation, after seeing with his own eyes the revelation to be brought to the Gentiles and the glory of God's people, Israel, already sees a different future. This child is assigned, destined to be rejected, and to Mary, a sword will pierce even your heart. The theme of reversal comes again and again, but with new meaning. Luke tells us that once the new wine of Jesus is poured into the old wineskins of the past dispensation, they break, they fragment beyond repair. For example, Jesus breaks the rules by calling the rank outsider and tax collector Levi into the service of the kingdom. When his opponents ask why he eats and drinks with sinners, he replies that it is not the righteous who need a physician. They are quite confident of their place at high table and of their entitlement. But Jesus says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. His opponents then ask why, when the disciples of John fasted like the Pharisees, the disciples of Jesus freely ate and drank. And this time, Jesus makes a reply that calls up the image of the bridegroom at the marriage feast. He asks, how can you expect the wedding guests to hold back from the great feast when they have the bridegroom with them? The Son of Man comes eating and drinking with all sorts and conditions of men and women. As Luke puts it, God's wisdom is proved right in all who are her children. At the feeding of the 5,000, Luke tells us they all ate and were satisfied. The reversal is complete, and the gospel is revealed as including the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And this reversal of the ordinary order of invitees makes it very different from the first great reversal in the Old Testament, when God visited and redeemed his people out of the hand of the Egyptians. Exodus tells us then that there was not one feeble person in all their tribes. In the kingdom of God, proclaimed and realized in the saving presence of Jesus, the disabled and the outsiders have their honorable place. Everything that had ever been imagined about restoration and redemption and the kingdom was turned upside down in Luke's prophecy at the moment when Jesus would be rejected and handed over into the hands of his enemies. The great moment of reversal, prefigured in the weakness of the vulnerable child at the beginning of Luke's gospel, is realized at the end in the loneliness of Gethsemane and the isolation of the cross. It is realized in the body given to his friends at the Last Supper, before that day when he should once more eat and drink with them in the Father's kingdom. Let us pray. A prayer of St. Anselm to Christ our Lord. Most kind lover of souls, the poor commit themselves to you, for you are the helper of orphans. My most safe helper, have mercy upon this orphan. Oh, that I might drink of the torrent of your pleasures for which I thirst, until they say to me, behold your God, until I hear, soul, behold your bridegroom. Amen.
Amen. Hymn 455.
But
peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you. stalking me.